John chapter 5, verse number 19. The scripture says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Our message last Sunday was, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And we use this passage to give understanding about the Lord not being a freelancer. As a man, he was subject to the Father and came to do the will of the Father. And as the Lord's children, indeed we should seek to do and pursue the will of our Savior. That's the example that we have, and that's relative to the headship of the Lord and those things too. We looked in the Old Testament last time, and this morning we want to look into the New Testament. And I tell you what, the subject really gets expanded as we go to the New Testament, greater than what I had expected. The Lord had put on my heart some time ago to do this study and to see what the Scripture says about it. But verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, the title of the message has been "Verily, verily, I say unto you," but there is that, and we saw in the Old Testament where there's just "verily," and in the Old Testament, the meaning of that Hebrew word was it's a affirmation of sureness or surely. It's of a surety. It will be. It's established by God, and we saw several things in the Old Testament scriptures that are that way. We'll also take a look at this single use of the word in the Gospels. And to be honest with you, my expectation in studying this is that the "verilies," one use, one word used there, would be chained up with the "verily, verilies." But they are not. Some points are related, but none of the occasions even that I found were even connected or similar. And so, Lord willing, or with the Lord's blessing this morning, we're going to take a look at the single use in the New Testament scriptures and see what our Lord affirms to us that these things are steadfast and true and sure. When we take a look at this word "verily" in the New Testament scriptures, I find it interesting that it is like the Old Testament reference and the Old Testament use, but there's an addition. Amen. Amen. It's the same thing as saying amen. And we do so, the brethren do so, when we're in services and there's a lesson that's been given, something that's preached, a point is made, and that we really want to emphasize that we know is true, and so we'll declare amen. We know in the scriptures that our brethren, as they wrote, they affirmed what they had received from the Lord to write with amen. Our Lord does that even himself and declares amen. It's the same thing as him saying verily or truly, or it's a most sure thing. You can trust in it. You can rest in it. It is forever. So I hope you have your Bibles all greased up this morning, and all these passages we'll not be able to read. But we just want to touch on these subjects that we might know, and maybe you might be persuaded to do this study yourself. In Matthew chapter 5, we take a look over here, our first point. We're going to try to take this down the line of from the standpoint of what the Lord tells us as his children, and then bringing it to facts that everybody needs to know. All these things need to be known by all men, but there is relevance to them also. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 18, it says there, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." We see here our Lord says, "Verily I say unto you, the word of God stands eternally." The word of God stands eternally. It will not be altered. It will not be changed. It will come to pass. Not even the punctuation will fall to the ground. Now that's a statement, isn't it? For you and I to say about the things that we would say, that they will all come to pass. It would be laughable, wouldn't it? I mean, we're contradictory of our own selves, and we change our minds even, and not to mention our inability and lack of power and strength to be able to accomplish things, much less invoke things upon other people. It's not that way with the Word of God. It stands forever. and not a bit of it will fall. In Matthew chapter 13, we see another thing here where that our Lord tells us. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 17. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. You understand that in the day of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't have these Gospels written. They didn't have these New Testament scriptures. And so there was a dividing between the people. The Lord said he spoke to those, the people, generally, in parables. But see, the disciples were able to ask of the Lord, what's the meaning of that parable? What does that mean? Do you realize that we have a great blessing? I tell you what, other than the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, okay, he is the Word, the greatest blessing that we have is the blessing of having the Bible. The blessing of having the Bible. Because you know, in our day, the parable is not withheld. Oh, spiritual understanding may not be there, but you know what? The interpretation of all of them that were given, that the Lord wanted recorded, are right here in this book. You understand that? I pray that we can see that. We've got that right here in front of us. In that day, when these things were being done by the Lord in the day of his ministry, it was secret. It was held over here. The Lord said, I speak to them in parables, that seeing they won't see, and that hearing they won't hear, lest they should understand and be converted, and I should heal them or save them from their sins. But you know what? This word of God goes out freely unto all. In Mark chapter 6, and we will jump around. In Mark chapter 6, take a look over here, what our Lord tells us. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, verily I say unto you. In Mark chapter 6, we see in verse number 11, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Brother Mark has touched upon that of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I trust you know the account about how the Lord poured out his wrath and judgment and fire and brimstone upon that city and other cities of the plain, that whole region. Our Lord, in the day, modern day vernacular, he nuked it. He glassed that place. I mean, it was burnt up. Why? Because of their wickedness that had come to an end with the Lord. Our Lord tells us, verily it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, our Lord knows who rejects his word. Our Lord knows who rejects his word. You know, of all that wicked, all the wicked folks there in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord knew what was going on in their hearts. Oh, he knew what was being done outwardly, but our Lord knew the wickedness that was being cultivated and stirred up in their own hearts. Our Lord knows who rejects his word. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. In Matthew chapter 21, we see over here this, and what a wondrous thing that it is. In Matthew chapter 21, verse number 31, we don't have time to bring in the context, and we were looking to be faithful to the context, but there's just many things that are here. Listen to this, Matthew 21, 31. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? Do you know that account? Two brethren were instructed by their father to go out and work. One didn't, all right, one didn't and just bailed out and didn't go, but afterward repented and went and did so. The other one said that he would and didn't go at all. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Why? Our Lord rejoices at the repentance of men. I tell you what, And you know, spiritual blindness is the worst kind of blindness that there is. But if you're here and you're not saved, I'm asking you, have you gone to the Lord with your sin? Have you gone to the Lord with your need? Have you gone to the Lord in repentance of your sins? See, to know that you should repent, but not go to the Lord, is foolish indeed. But go to the Lord, because you know what? The Lord loves sinners to repent of their sins, which did the will of the Father. They say unto him, well, the first did. Why? Because, well, he didn't go at the beginning, but you know what? He saw the error of his way. You know how sinners see the error of their way today? By this good book, by the word of God. And they, verily I say unto you that the publicans that repent and the harlots that repent go into the kingdom of God before you. Why? That was those religious elite of the day. They didn't think they needed to repent over anything. And we've got men in our day who said, I don't have anything that I need to repent of before God. I tell you what, we all do. We all do. And our Lord rejoices in at the repentance of men. Why? Because we need it. In Matthew chapter 18, along this line, take a look over here. Matthew chapter 18. Look at this aspect of it too. Matthew 18, verse number 13. 100 sheep, one goes astray, verse 13, and if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. You know what? Our Lord rejoices when he finds his sheep. He does, doesn't he? He rejoices when he finds his sheep. He rejoices when men repent, and he rejoices when he finds his sheep. How is the Lord searching for his sheep? By the preaching of his word, by the declaring of his gospel, by that throwing by his churches and his children, throwing that net of the gospel. You know, the Lord will take care of filling it up. We just need to throw it. We need to declare it. And the Lord rejoices when he finds his sheep. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 21, I'll read this to you. I trust you know the account. As they did eat, he, Jesus, said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. I tell you what, the Lord rejoices in finding his sheep, but he knows those who are not. Now, you and I, we don't know that, and that's a good thing. We don't know who they are, but the Lord does. The Lord does. He knows. He knew what Judas was before, when he chose him, before he chose him to be an apostle. And in that of the Lord doing so, why would the Lord do that? Did Judas sneak in on the Lord? By no means. No, by no means. But as we mentioned earlier, Brother Bobby read about Pharaoh in Egypt there. Judas was chosen of the Lord to be the betrayer. Again, I tell you, those things are past. Those things are past. We live in the blessed time indeed of the freeness of the gospel and the word of God being at hand in this work of the church to, as Jesus said, tell every creature the gospel of the kingdom to go the world over, and sinners called to repent and believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. Our Lord rejoices when he finds his sheep. He knows those that are his. Matthew chapter 10, this is one that I tell you what, it blows my mind and is just such a blessing. I tell you what, and we need to get a handle on this. We need to not think the way the world does in these things. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 10, last verse, verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple. You reckon that means that a church ought to have a cold water fountain? I just thought of that foolishness. Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Let's take a look over here in Matthew chapter 11. Okay, next chapter, Matthew 11, verse number 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. No greater prophet than John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus Christ declares. I tell you what, Samuel was a great prophet, wasn't he? And priest. Elijah. Can you imagine being in the day of Elijah? Brother Moses. How about David? David was a wonderful prophet, king. John the Baptist was the greatest. John never did a miracle. You know what? John came preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. A great man, the greatest, the Lord says, of all the prophets. You take them all, and Jesus says he's the greatest. He's the forerunner of Christ. He's the prophet that's right there up against the coming of the Lord. But you know what? The least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I tell you what, we need to understand, and our Lord tells us, verily, verily, the economy of our Lord is beyond our comprehension. The economy and the accounting of our Lord is beyond our comprehension. And may we learn about it. May we rejoice in it. May we learn to see what is important to our Lord. Verily, verily, the Lord says these things. In Mark chapter 9, verse number 41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Let me read this to you. Mark 12, 43. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Isn't that something? What was it that she put in? Two mites. They had been dropping money in the collection vessel all day long. 4 days. And as the disciples are sitting there with the Lord, this widow woman comes in, and you can't even hear hers hit the bottom. And the Lord said, she put in more than all of them. Why? She gave of her want. I tell you what, the economy of our Lord is beyond our comprehension. May the Lord help us indeed. Matthew chapter 16, take a look over here. Matthew chapter 16, verily I say unto you. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 28, last verse. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And the next chapter in these references, we see that of the Mount of Transfiguration. It's pretty close. Peter, James, and John are blessed of the Lord to go up there and see the Lord in his glory during the time of his ministry and life here on earth. You know what? Our Lord tells us that our lives are in his hands. Our lives are in our Lord's hands. Our Lord knew, he said, there's some fellows here that aren't going to die. And you know what? We're not going to pass out of this world until our Lord's ready to take us out of here. Now, I believe the Scripture tells us that we can be foolish in some things. But you know what? That's rest and peace to know that we are in the hand of our Lord. I don't have to worry about my heart beating. It's going to beat as long as my Lord wants it to beat. I don't have to worry about my brain and my mind not working. And I pray for soundness of mind as I look to be your pastor. And you pray for me that way. But you know what? My mental faculty is held together by the Lord. You know what? And to submit to him and all those things and to pray to him for those things that we need glorifies his name. We're in the hand of the Lord. There's some of you, he said, that you're not going to taste death till you see some things. You see some things of my glory. Verily, verily, our Lord, our lives are in our Lord's hands. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. You go to sleep at night resting in that, can't you? Matthew 19, 28. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit with the Son of Man, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We see in this that our Lord has a place for his children. We've got a place. We don't have to worry about scratching and scraping to try to get to a place or a standing with the Lord. We just need to be obedient to him. Just be obedient to Him in the foundational, simple things that He gives us, the things that He shows us in His Word. Be like our Savior in this physical life. And He's got a place for us. He's got a place for us. For the apostles, they're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And what do you think we're going to be doing? Well, I don't know why they're up there judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I think Brother Mark would have been a better choice. No, we're going to rejoice in that. That's their place. That's their place. I can't help think of this. Brother Daniel, in the last verse of the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, verse number 13, our Lord tells our brother, "But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. For thou shalt rest and shall stand in thy lot at the end of the days." We've got a place. Our Lord has a place for us. He's got a purpose for us. He's got a plan for us. And you know what? He will bring us to it. Our Lord has a place for His children. In Matthew chapter 25, much controversy about this passage. I'll go ahead and, in summary, tell you what I think. It's the parable of the 10 virgins, and it tells that it's an aspect or a facet of the kingdom of the Lord there in verse number 1 of 25. And it says here in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 12, "But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know ye not." Now understand that in this, our Lord does not utter any words of condemnation to them. These are the five virgins that didn't have any extra oil with them. They had the lamps, but their lamps burn out. And they had, when the bridegroom came, they had to go find some oil. But you know what? Those five that had that extra oil, that reserve, and in the Scriptures, oil is a type and a showing of the Holy Spirit of God. I think indeed this is what the Lord's speaking about regarding His bride or His church. He's saying unto them, as I understand it, "Verily I say unto you, I don't know you in this capacity. You can't come into the chamber of the bridegroom as the other five did so." Our Lord adds to His church and knows them too. He does. He adds to His church. It's His work. It's His blessing. And the Word of God goes out, and the Spirit of God convicts those. Pharaoh, as Brother Bobby read this morning, what Pharaoh saw there was the power of God and the manifestation of the power of God with no moving of the Holy Spirit of God in his soul. And what's it cause a man to do? It indeed will harden his heart. Because we're depraved. We're at hatred and enmity with God naturally. And it takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God to move in there and soften men's hearts rather than to quarrel against God and fight against God. I'll tell you what, the Lord works in people too, not only to save them, but to show them about His church. And He brings them. And they say, "Yes, that's what I need to do. I need to be baptized. I need to follow the Lord. I need to join that church by virtue of baptism. They come to see and obey my Lord and take the place that He's made for me there in that church. To be an edifier, not a terror downer, but an edifier and a nurturer there in that church that the Lord has given to me." In Mark chapter 14, verse 25, our Lord makes a promise, "Verily, verily, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God." We just observed the Lord's Supper here recently. And here in this we see this is a promise that our Lord makes. Our Lord has made us promises. How many promises of the Lord do you know? I tell you what, I challenge you to start writing them down. What promises do you know with Scripture reference? It's a wonderful study. It's an ongoing study. It's a lifetime study. And our Lord, verily, He has made promises unto His children. Really, to us all. In Matthew chapter 18, we see over here in this, a lot of things, isn't there? There's a lot of things here. "Verily, I say unto you." In Matthew 18, our Lord says here, And verse number 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his church. Our Lord's churches have authority from him that he backs up. May we use it well. May we not use it for our own whim or our own desire or our own pursuit. Because I tell you what, it is a great... Does the Lord back up anything about IBM and glory? No, but he does his churches. He's given authority. He's given the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter within the church. He's given us his word to follow and to go by. I tell you what, he's done it. And he says, verily I say unto you, what ye shall bind, it's going to be bound in heaven. What you turn loose is going to be loosed in heaven. In Matthew chapter 10, you're close. Go over here, verse number 23. Listen to what he says to the disciples. Verse number 23, Matthew 10, verse number 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. We see here in this that there's always another place to proclaim the gospel. There's always another place to proclaim the gospel. And may we have a heart to do so here in our region and community. May the Lord help us to understand how we can do so more and further. There's always another place. Verily I say unto you, there's always another place to proclaim the gospel of our Lord. In Matthew chapter 24, we take a look here in verse number 47. Matthew 24, verse number 47. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. What's the Lord speaking about? He's talking about the one that's looking for his return. The one that knows that the Lord is gone, and as the different accounts tell us, the Lord gives different examples of a Lord that's going to inherit a kingdom and then come back, or he's going on a journey and he's going to return. And you know what? The servants believe him. They believe that he's gone. They believe that he's given them a responsibility to abide while he's gone. And they believe that his word that he has given is what they need to live by, not what they think. And they believe indeed that he's coming back. May the Lord help us that we understand this. There is a reward with our Lord for the faithful. There is a reward with our Lord for the faithful. We serve him because he's called us and saved us and because he's worthy to be obeyed. But I tell you what, let us know there is a reward. Lord brought this to heart. You turn over here in Revelation chapter 22. If you have your Bibles, read this for yourself. In Revelation chapter 22, here at the end of the book, the end of the New Testament, and listen to what our Lord says here. Revelation 22, verse number 12. The scripture says, and behold, I come quickly, the Lord says. What's he say? And my reward is with me. My reward is with me. He's got it. He's got it. You know, and I think you could maybe take that a couple ways. The Lord is coming back when he comes and shows and manifests himself on this earth and puts his feet down on the Mount of Olives. His children are coming back with him. But I tell you what, another thing I think in context of the message is that he's got the rewards with him for his children, to those that are faithful, to those that obey him and follow him indeed. He says there, as we read in Matthew, the one that's looking for him, he'll make him ruler over all of his goods. The Lord Jesus told the disciples and tells us, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Lord's not concerned about the stuff. He's not concerned about the stuff. He's got plenty. He's got a greater blessing than we can ever receive. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch that you have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Been hospitable. Been benevolent. Been generous. Been neighbor. to your neighbor indeed and your brother. In Matthew chapter 26, verse number 13, our Lord says, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Had that alabaster box of ointment and took it and used it upon the Lord, anointing him for his burial, he said. And it's being declared even this morning, some 2,000 years after it's happened. You know, that's a reward for that lady. That's a reward and a testimony for the Lord and her faithfulness unto the Lord. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 29. Turn over here. Mark chapter 10, verse number 29. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. This isn't somebody conjuring something up. This is what the Lord Jesus has said. Mark 10, verse 29. "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's." What's he say? "But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Our Lord has a reward for the faithful. For the faithful indeed. Luke chapter 12, verse number 37. Luke chapter 12, verse number 37. Listen and read what it says here. Luke 12, 37. "Verily I say unto you, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." Listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. Get beyond the stuff that the Lord promises. What's he say? "The meek shall inherit the earth." "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you," the Lord Jesus declares, "that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them." Peter said, "Not my feet." The Lord says he's going to do it. Can you imagine the Lord serving all of his children in glory? I'll tell you what, he's got to move fast, doesn't he? But I tell you, he'll get it done, and every bit of it. It won't be like Jesus is over there, way down there. But with everybody, with all of his children, it'll be like he's right up here close. Isn't that something? The reward of our Lord indeed is great. Then we come here to things that are true. And things that need to be understood. Things that are grave indeed. In Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Verse number 23. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, riches are a great snare to men." Riches are a great snare unto men. Matthew chapter 6, back at the Sermon on the Mount, in verse number 2, our Lord declares, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms," that is which is given to the for the benefit and benevolence of those that are in need, the poor, "when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse 5, "When you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse number 16, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Religious boasters among men have their reward here. Religious boasters among men have their reward here. "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." In Mark chapter 3, we see this. Mark chapter 3, Lord Jesus is accused of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the good work of the Lord being reckoned to that of Satan. Verse number 28 of Mark 3, "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme against the Father, against the Son." That blasphemy can be forgiven indeed. "But he," verse 29, "that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God is fatal. It's fatal. And I tell you what, for somebody to do this, this is not something that I believe that you can trip up and stumble into and not knowing. Those that pursue this mess and this wickedness of blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God do so knowingly. I think the Lord challenged them in that way. They did so. They knew He came with the power of God. They had attributed such for their entire history of those righteous men, the men of God that came, as coming with the power of God. But they hated Him so that they attributed the good work of God, the good work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the devil. It says in verse number 30, "Because they said he hath an unclean spirit." Blasphemy, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is fatal indeed." Matthew chapter 8, oh, this is a blessed thing. And may we know this more and more, and we who are saved, we do so. May sinners hear and believe. Listen, Matthew chapter 8, verse number 10, I trust you know the account. "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." The centurion wanted his servant to be healed. He was grievous sick. And he sent a messenger unto the Lord, or came to the Lord and said, "I'm a man," he said, "my servant's sick, I need you to heal him." He said, "Let's go." The centurion said, "Oh, wait a minute, I'm not worthy for you even to come under the roof of my place. I understand how it is about authority. I've got men under me, I've got my servant, I tell them what to do, they do it, and they come and they go, and this, that, and the other. All you've got to do is say it, and it'll be done, because you've got authority too." You know what? May we know, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, our Lord is only impressed by faith in Him. What was it He says there? He marveled. Our Lord Jesus marveled and said unto them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Our Lord is only impressed and only reckons positively with faith in Him. That's what the man had, wasn't it? He believed that the Lord could do and would do on his behalf, and said, "I'm not worthy for you to even get any closer to my place. All you've got to do is say it, and it'll be done." And the Lord said, "Wow." Because see, the man's faith is not in himself. The man's faith is not in his own cunning. But the man's faith is in the Lord and His willingness and His ability to do the thing that he asks. In Matthew chapter 17, verse number 20, "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief you couldn't cast out this one. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." By a person's own will, grit, and horsepower themselves, if you will, we've got to work long and hard to move mountains, even with equipment that's got to be manufactured and broken down and breaks down. You hear what I'm saying? Who has the power? Our great God and King and Savior and Lord. How is it? See, it's by faith in Him. So you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed in me, and there'll be nothing held back from you. That's what He says, because the Lord has promised He will work. The Lord has promised that He will move mountains by our faith in Him. He tells us over in the book of Mark, In Matthew chapter 18, verse number 3, Matthew 18, verse number 3, what do we see here? In verse number 3, verily I say unto you, except you be converted, turn self around, repent, reverse, that's what that word means, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord is only impressed by faith in Him. Faith in Him. Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Verily I say unto you, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. I tell you what, in every aspect of life, how is it with us? Do we reason and reckon ourselves with our own understanding and the understanding of the world, the insight we think that the world has, the cunning of our technological age and our great technological ability? And we just know, I tell you what, we just need to be best children before our Lord. To look to Him, to ask Him, to seek Him, to seek His face, to look for what He wants us to do in His Word and be obedient to Him in that. To hear that still small voice that leads us in things in particular in our own lives. That's why the way the Lord found Elijah, wasn't it? It wasn't in the earthquake, wasn't in the whirlwind. It was a still small voice of the Lord. I tell you what, we can take that still small voice and we can quench it. We can take that still small voice of the Lord within us and we can grieve Him. We can grieve Him. But may we hear our Lord and know indeed that he is pleased by faith in Him. As a little child, it tells us this also in the book of Luke. Matthew chapter 21, just right over the page there, verse number 21. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Have you seen this, how this is all through the Gospels, all through the Scriptures? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which I have done to the fig tree, when he's coming and going out of Jerusalem before his crucifixion, just shortly before it, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Praying in faith. As Brother James says, not double-minded. Our Lord is only impressed by faith in Him. Mark chapter 8, verse 12, listen to this. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. Our Lord is only impressed and touched by faith in Him, not sign seekers. Don't set up for signs with the Lord. Don't look for signs with the Lord. I tell you what, as we pursue things in life, may we pray about them, bring them to the Lord, tell Him our desire, but always be willing to yield, nevertheless thy will be done. Listening for that still small voice, asking the Lord to work in things that He would show us and give us understanding about what He wants us to do. But when a thing is not what we should do and we know it full well, let us not press for it. Let us not lay out fleeces. Let us not lay out for signs, but let us be obedient to our Lord and His leadership in our lives. The Lord is only impressed by those by faith in Him. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 26. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 26. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Matthew 23, verse 36. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. What do we see here? Judgment is sure. Judgment is sure indeed. Our Lord tells them about the destruction of Jerusalem and of the temple and such as that in Matthew chapter 24. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 51, our Lord says, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, He knows about those things. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. In Luke chapter 13, verse number 35, behold, Behold, sinner, is the Lord speaking this to you? Do you hear this? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I think it's a reference to every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. House left desolate. Because there can be no building of a house without the Lord Jesus Christ. Verily I say unto you. In Matthew chapter 26, we see this in verse 34. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Our Lord Jesus knows us all better than we know ourselves. You know, better to trust in my Lord about me and what I need than to trust in myself. Amen? He knows me better than I know myself. And I might as well get honest with the Lord about the things I do know and the things that he does show me about myself. Are you and I willing to venture, as Brother David did, search me, O God? He asked the Lord to search you for the fault and for the things that we have in our lives that need to be improved and be more like the Lord. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Peter was dedicated and said he'd give his life for the Lord. The Lord said, no. Not going to be so, Peter. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows twice. In Luke chapter 4, verse 24, this may seem odd. And he said, verily I say unto you, at the beginning of our Lord's ministry, no prophet is accepted in his own country. The Lord knows how we think on the inside. A prophet of the Lord should always be received. But those that grow up amongst us, there's just a thing that we just don't ever, and we can have this with our children. We don't let them grow up. They need to grow up. Everything in its right time. And the Lord wasn't received in Nazareth. And he knew that they were too familiar with him. The thing is, it didn't change that he's the Savior and he's God and he is the King of glory and the Judge. Our Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. Luke chapter 23. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn over here. Maybe you've not turned to any verse, but I tell you what, I want you to turn over here to this verse and read it for yourself. Luke chapter 23, verse number 43. Our Lord Jesus on the cross, the malefactors beside him having had railed on him, the one malefactor brought to an understanding with those things that he heard from the Lord, again, his word, the testimony of what those things that were done, that were there. We got the Lord on the cross in the middle and these two thieves on either side. And they had railed on him earlier saying, if he's the Christ, get yourself down and get us down. Show it and prove it. The other one starts railing on the Lord again. And this one says, he's been brought to an understanding. Leave him alone. You and I, we deserve to be here. And we all deserve to be there with him too. He says, we deserve to be here, but this man had done not one thing wrong, nothing amiss. And what's this man do? This man, he's pinned to that tree, he's pinned to that pole. He cannot do a thing for himself. He cannot even pursue just the basic things of life like getting himself a cup of water. He is done with all that he can do. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He's been brought to an understanding that the Lord is going to come to his kingdom. He believes and trusts in the Lord that he will remember him. He has come to an understanding and believes indeed that with this man, there is a future. But in the state they're in, there's no future. He has repented of what he's done and what he is. He doesn't it say that in the previous verse? He said, this man's done nothing amiss. But we're guilty. We deserve to be here. He's repentant. I deserve to die. And he says, remember me. And Jesus said unto him, verse 43, verily I say unto thee. Verily I say unto thee. Do you have that promise from the Lord? Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Praise the Lord. Jesus saves. Verily I say unto thee, verily I say unto you, Jesus saves. You're here and you're not saved. You can be saved even today. Repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 22, let it be known, there's another thing here that we need to see. Not the word use of the word verily, but the use of the word surely. And what does our Lord say? In Revelation 22, verse number 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. It's just like him saying verily. It's solid. It's steadfast. It's sure. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Brother John testifies, verily, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. It's solid and it's sure. Verily, verily, I say unto you.